Okay, the reading is from 1 John, chapter 2. We're reading from verses 3 to 11. And in the Church Bibles, it's page 864. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. May God bless his word.
And let's pray. Father, we thank you indeed for your word. Thank you that you speak to us through your word, that you're not a silent God, but a living God who longs to communicate your great gospel to us. We thank you for it. And we pray this morning that you would open our hearts, open our minds to hear it afresh, to learn new things, to be confident in the gospel. Change us, challenge us, make us more like Jesus. In his name. Amen. 2011, last year, was the last time we had a census. Not too long ago. I'm sure you remember filling out the form, giving details of who you are, information about your household, and various other details that the government want to know. One of the questions on the form was about religion. And the question was, what is your religion? The results of the census haven't come out yet, but I wonder how many people tick the box that says Christian and yet don't actually live a life that would prove that they are a Christian. You know, I think there are many people who would say that they are Christians and yet live a life that just doesn't really follow up to that name. Perhaps they go to church only once or twice a year, Christmas, and they think that's enough to call themselves a Christian. Maybe they go a bit more regularly than that, but it's out of a sense of duty rather than a real relationship with God. They kind of don't really read their Bibles or pray. Sometimes they do it if they're in real need of God. But they're not desiring to live a life that's pleasing to God and have a walk that's close to him. Unfortunately, the worst thing about this is that we live in a society that kind of people are Christians because of culture or tradition. They think that because they believe in God, perhaps because they go to church and they do good things, that makes them a Christian. And yet this leads to us to ask the question, well, why does their life not display that more and more, that the fact that they are a Christian? They think that they are safe when it comes to the day of judgment. They say, well, I believe, or I know God, and yet they seem to deny him by their lifestyle. It seems to be a false understanding of the gospel there, a misunderstanding of who Jesus really is. And the Apostle John, to the readers in the day he's writing to, faced a similar thing. People who were claiming to be Christians, people who said, yeah, I know, I believe in God. And yet had a life that seemed to deny the truth at all. In fact, these people were teaching a different gospel, a form of Christianity that actually denied who Jesus was, who he really was. They kind of changed the definition of what sin is and the way to find salvation. Well, that was something completely different than what the Christians had first heard. And so the question arises, well, what is truth? What is a real Christian? How do we know what a Christian is? How can we be sure that we ourselves are actually Christians? Well, John wrote this great letter for us to give us assurance that we know what a Christian is, that we can identify what it means to be in Christ, to be part of his family. And he helps us to see those that aren't, and help us to distinguish what is truth from error. And so as we look at just these few verses in chapter 2, hopefully we'll have a look at of how we can be sure that we're Christians. So we'll look at two things. We'll see we can be sure that we're Christians if we obey his commands, and we can be sure that we're Christians if we love our brother. So firstly, we can be sure that we're Christians if we obey his commands. If you look at verse 3, he says pretty much this: we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. John describes the Christian here as someone who knows God. If you remember back 2 weeks ago, and Phil was telling us about these false teachers and how they claim to have special knowledge about God. So John is battling with this idea that the true Christianity is somehow about having this knowledge that you have to search for in life, that the other Christians didn't seem to have. That's how you have true Christianity. But yet, was this teaching really based on the Word of God? Was it the truth that they first heard? When John talks about knowing God, he doesn't mean just knowing about God, but he's talking about a relationship, a real relationship with God. See, I can tell you about my athletics hero, Michael Johnson. If you don't know him, he's an American. He was a 400-meter runner in the 1990s. He used to hold both world records in those events. He's won multiple world and gold medals in the Olympics. I could tell you about his family and his childhood and his early years of racing from his autobiography. But I don't know him. I don't have a relationship with him. The closest I've been to Michael Johnson is about 150 meters. Unfortunately, I've not managed to get closer than that, but it would be great to do one day. You see, there were people in Jesus' day who claimed to know him. They thought they knew who he was. And yet, because they didn't believe in him, proved that they didn't. We can read in the Gospels, and John wrote one of the Gospels himself, and we can see that he records of occasions where he is meeting with the religious leaders. These were the people who followed him around. They heard him preach and teach. They saw his miracles. They saw his healings. And yet they didn't believe in who he was. Jesus made great claims, didn't he, of his deity. Great claims of his oneness with the Father. That he knew who God was because he was from God. And yet these people, they didn't believe that. They didn't think that you're not him. You know who you are. You're from Nazareth. You're not the Son of God. They had in their own minds this idea of who the Messiah was, and Jesus didn't kind of fit that mold. Jesus said to them, if you really knew who I was, then you would know the Father as well. Because you don't believe in who I am, then you don't really know God. He said, if you knew me and you believed in me, then you would do the things that I tell you to do. But they didn't, they disobeyed, and again, it shows that they did not know God. So how can we be sure that we know him? We know him if we obey his commands. What are his commands? If you skip down to chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, John tells us here that to obey his command, this is not a new command he's telling them to obey, but it's an old command, a command that they've had since the beginning. The command is the message that they've heard. It's the gospel. When John says since the beginning, he's talking about since the beginning of their faith. There perhaps were Christians in this church who have been Christians for many, many years. Maybe they first heard the gospel from one of the apostles. Maybe even from Jesus himself. And this message that they first heard many years ago is still true. It's still the same message that they're hearing now. Nothing's changed. Nothing's developed. Nothing has been added to it that these false teachers seem to be saying. It's true. And they can be sure that the message they heard is the same. And yet, the old command could have a double meaning. It could mean old in another sense. Old in the fact that it goes back even before Jesus, back to the Old Testament. Back to the beginning of when God first gave commands. We know that, don't we, from the time of Israel, that God gave them commands. And Jesus summed up those commands in two. He said that the greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So God's commands are about love, about loving God, and about loving people. So although this command is old, in a way it's new. John says, doesn't he? Yes, I'm telling you an old commandment, but yet I am writing you a new commandment. It's new because it's made new and fulfilled in Jesus. And we see that in his life, in his death and resurrection, that Jesus puts flesh on that command. He shows us what it means. He lives it out. He proves to us. He shows in perfection what it means to love God and to love other people. And we can see this in Jesus. Jesus said himself that I give you a new commandment, didn't he, to his disciples. He was washing their feet and he said to them, I give you a new commandment to love one another. And ultimately he would show that just a day or so later as he died upon the cross. So to know God is to know Jesus and believe in who he is. We learned last week, looking at the first chapter, that told us some of the great truths of all that Jesus has done for us, the great things he's accomplished on the cross, as he stood in our place as our substitute. He stands as our advocate before the Father. Because he died instead of us, we can come to him and we can trust in him. We can confess our sins, as we read last week. And he is faithful and he is just, and he will forgive us. And his blood cleanses us and washes us from all unrighteousness. These are the truths from chapter 1. We were reminded, weren't we, that there's no one who doesn't sin. There's no one who has now reached perfection that they don't go on sinning. But we've all fallen short. We've all missed the target, as Peter described. And yet, praise God for Jesus. Because salvation is not through our own effort, but it's all of him. All we need to do is believe and trust in Jesus. And we can praise God that our eternal life is not based upon our effort, but upon his mercy on the cross. So, what is God's command? To love him. How do we love him? By loving his son. By believing in who his son is. By putting our trust in him. Later in 1 John, we'll read that God's command is to believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. And it's seen. It's seen in Jesus, and it's seen in you too if you live for Jesus. It's seen in your life as you display a love. As Christians, knowing God is being in that relationship through his son. And love is an overflow of that, isn't it? When we realize all that God has done for us, we see that he loved us first. Our response is to love him back, to want to please him, to want to obey his commands, to want to do what's right, to be rid of the old life and sin that so easily entangles us. And to live a life that is full of joy because we long to do what is right. We're Christians not because we do good things, but because we're Christians, we want to do good things. It's important to get the difference between that. Because there are many people, maybe people here this morning, who are confused perhaps, that we think that we are Christians because of the life that we live, and yet we're Christians because we trust Jesus. The life that we live for him is an overflow and a result of that. John clarifies what he means in verse 6. He says, whoever claims to live in him, whoever claims to be a Christian, must walk as Jesus did. Evidence that you're a Christian is found in your actions. James said in his letter to John's brother that your faith is dead without works. Anybody can say, I believe in God. Even the demons declare this, James tells us. James says, show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by what I do. And what he does is a wholehearted life commitment to serving God. So what about those people that John's writing to, those that seem to be claiming to know God and yet they're disobeying his command? They don't believe in who Jesus really is. They're not living to serve him. They confess with their mouths what they don't really believe in their hearts. People who have got this misunderstanding, this wrong understanding of who God is. Today, people who are Christians by culture or by tradition. People who think they're Christians because they don't do anything really bad, and yet their attitude, their walk, their worldview just denies the fact of the truth that they claim to be. So are you someone who is sure of your faith? Are you confident that you truly know him? Is it obvious by your obedience? Not that you live a perfect life, not that you never sin, because John has already told us that's not possible. But that we have put our trust in Jesus Christ and him alone for the forgiveness of our sins. That we can claim that his love has been made truly complete in us, like he says in verse 5, meaning that we truly know what love is because we've seen it in Christ and we believe that. And we've trusted in it, and his love has transformed us and has changed us. And that we live by the power of his Spirit. And when we do sin, we come back to our God, confessing our sin, and he forgives us. If so, then we can rejoice. We can rejoice that we know him, and we can keep on knowing him and loving him. And we can be encouraged, as John wants us to be. However, for people in John's writing to, for people in God's church today around the world, people who claim to be Christians, but it's out of religious activity, it's just because they believe God or something like that. But their general attitude, their worldview, their life just seems to disprove the fact that they claim to be Christians. As a church, we need to be sure that we're preaching the true gospel, and that we as Christians are living a life that truly displays what is good and shows Jesus in our lives. The people around us can say, yeah, he, she, they're Christians, because they can see our lives match up to what we say. Secondly, we can be sure that we are Christians if we love our brother. So looking on from verse 9, John now describes a Christian not as somebody who knows God, but as somebody who is in the light. Somebody who does not walk in darkness, but is in the light. John is a fan of using these images of light and darkness. We see throughout his gospel that he says, he gives descriptions of what it means to be in the light and the darkness. I guess you can figure out which is which. John tells us in the beginning of his letter here that God is light and in him there's no darkness. John tells us in his gospel that Jesus is the light of the world. Anyone who follows him will never walk in darkness. Jesus is that light that came into the darkness, that shone in the darkness, and yet the darkness didn't see it, didn't recognize it. The world didn't recognize Jesus. See, men love their darkness because of sin, and they hate the light because the light exposes the life that they're living. But to be a Christian is to step into the light, to have our sins exposed so that we can confess them and we can have forgiveness. Jesus is the light that came into the world, and he came to deal with the darkness. The darkness that's passing away because the true light is already shining. The cross, the victory of the cross is seen in Jesus. He is the light of the world. It's like when you wake up in the morning before the sun has risen and darkness is all around you. You need to turn on the headlights in your car to drive, and it's hard to see. And yet when you look to the east and you see the sun rising, you see that it starts to take over the darkness that was around for the whole night. And it seems to consume the darkness as the light comes. And suddenly there is no more darkness because the light has come. And that's the victory Jesus has won over darkness, to bring true light and true victory. We can be sure that we are in the light if we love our brother and our sister, of course. Though God's command is to love everyone, here he's particularly focusing on fellow believers, on Christians, those that it shouldn't be that difficult to love, because we're part of God's family, people who are united with Christ together. We're in that family, and so because we love God, our love for one another should flow naturally from that. Jesus is our example of what it means to love, and so because he first loved us, we can love others with the same attitude. Jesus loved the unlovable. He loved those that didn't care for him. Is that our habit as believers, is to love at all costs, to put the other person first? Even if they don't particularly love you back, do we put their needs before our own? Do we seek to build one another up? Do we pray for each other? Do we seek to keep each other away from sin. This shows that we live and that we walk in the light. But John tells us here in these verses, doesn't he, that there are people who didn't love Christians, that they hated Christians. He uses this word hate. It seems such a strong word to use, and yet that's what he says. When the Bible talks about hate and love, it's quite black and white. If you're not loving, then you're hating. It's what John is saying here. He's talking about those people who claim to be Christians, and yet because they were boasting about their knowledge, because they were putting down other Christians, because part of their belief was that the body is you know, it's not really, doesn't really matter. What matters is the spirit. Therefore, you can do whatever you want with the body. And so they were living lives of sin and leading other people away, astray into such a life. Their interests were in themselves, not in building up one another. And so they were hating their brother because they were leading them away from what was really true. So John here is saying that those who hate their brother are not necessarily those who really loathe and do bad things to their brother, but those who just are apathetic as well, those who ignore the cares, concerns of their brother. His concern is for those people. He knows that those who are walking in light are clear. They can see the way. They're not causing others to stumble. They're not causing themselves to stumble into sin. But his concern is for those who are leading other Christians astray, because they are causing them to stumble. And he says, if anyone claims to be in the light but hates his brother, he's actually still in the darkness. Alison and I are decorating our bedroom at the moment. And it means that it's empty. Everything that was in there is out on the landing, or we're in the spare room where we're sleeping. And sometimes if I'm up in the night, it's obviously dark and I can't see where I'm going. And occasionally I'll bang into a box, or I'll knock some clothes off the table. And it wakes Alison up. And I can't see where I'm going because there's no light. And it's like that for those who are walking in the darkness. They're stumbling around, not being able to see, not knowing what is really true and right. John paints a real bleak picture here of those walking in darkness, people who are out of relationship with God, those living in the world, living ways, sinful ways, that they're blinded by the darkness. They're unable to see the light, and really they don't want to see the light because they love their sin so much. They want to stay in the darkness. Walking and living in the light of Christ is loving one another. It's sacrificing our own needs for the sake of others. It's giving of ourselves to build up and encourage our brother and sister, to help them to grow in faith, to become more like Jesus, so they don't stumble and fall. John isn't saying that if we happen to cause our brother and sister to fall once or twice, then we ourselves are now back in the darkness. But he's saying that if our whole attitude, our whole way of living is one to bless and encourage and build up our fellow Christians, then this proves that we are in the light and not in the darkness. Do we have such a pattern of life? For John's readers, those who are truly Christians, those who walk in the light, those who truly know God, their lives are characterized by love. Love because all that Jesus Christ has done for them flows in and through them to others around them. They obey God's commands with a joyful heart. Jesus once used a picture of a tree, and he says that we can know those who are of God. We can know who are true Christians by their fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. This is a good test of genuine faith. Christian is one who is sold out for Jesus, one who's committed to loving his brother. So John is wanting to encourage those who are facing these false teachers, those who are telling them they must believe in some special knowledge, that what they have believed is wrong, it's not good enough perhaps. They need to believe in this new truth, the reality of who God really is. They can have confidence that message is wrong, because the message they believe in is one that has existed from all time, right from the beginning. And it's been made true and been realized in Jesus himself, who was God in flesh. they could have confidence against such living. And as they saw in their lives, as they believed in Jesus, and by his Spirit their lives were changed, so they saw in their lives that they were loving one another, this showed them that they were truly in God. And so for us this morning, to know God is to believe in his Son Jesus. And from that flows a life of love. And we can stand strong on that confession. We can have confidence that we truly know him because of that. And we can see, because our love, our desire, our longing for our lives is to want to please him, is to want to do what's right, to obey his word. And we can also, I think, we have to think of those that perhaps we know who claim to be Christians, and yet we know by their lifestyle that they're not really Christians. We need to warn them. We need to show and display in our own lives what a true Christianity is. And we need to teach them the word of God and what truth about what Christianity is. John goes on to tell us in the next few verses that the believer is someone who has overcome the evil one. There's nothing more than the evil one likes or enjoys than people who think that they're Christians. People who think that they walk in the light, but actually they deny him by their lifestyle. Jesus calls those who are in the darkness to step into the light. And for Christians this morning, we can rejoice that our salvation is not based on some superior knowledge. It's not based on an experience that other people tell us that we should have. That our salvation is not based on how good we perform in life. But it's based on believing, obeying God's commands to love him through his Son and to love one another. Let's take a moment just quietly, let's bow our heads and talk to God ourselves and to think, how has he been speaking to us this morning? What is his encouragement to us today? What is his challenge this morning? If we're Christians, we can have confidence because of trusting in Christ, and that's all that matters. If we are people who claim to be Christians and yet our life just seems to deny that, then today we can come to Jesus and we can confess our sins, and he will forgive us and he'll change our heart to a life that wants to live for him. Let's just quietly listen and speak to God. Father, we thank you so much that we can know that we know you if we simply obey your commands. If we believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins. And from that, we know that a life of love will flow. Thank you that you have made being a Christian so simple. And we pray, Lord God, that there are people here who perhaps have been deceived by the lies that people tell. That being a Christian is based on something else. That we would put trust and obey you. Father, thank you this morning for your encouragement. Pray that you would help us to live a life that is obedient to you, that displays Jesus in all that we do. That the world that we see out there would see Jesus in us and will want to come to know him for themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.